Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, sir.
Angels watching. Angels watching. They won't miss a thing. And we should be well protected. We are glad that God has seen fit in His all-wise providence to allow us to continue life here on planet Earth, prayerfully in His will. We thank Him for all of His wondrous blessings, life, health, and strength, and most of all, for the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, who made way for us to be restored to the privilege that we had when we were created, to live forever with God. I call your attention this morning to a text. You can turn to it if you choose, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We're delighted to have those of you who are visiting with us. We pray, O God, that we will treat you in such a way that God will be well pleased. And we know if we please God in our treatment of others, that others will be well pleased. And I make this suggestion, don't make this your last visit. Genesis in your Bible, the chapter is 1, and I'll come there with you. Genesis chapter 1. There's a great truth there. Beginning with verse number 1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. We have the creation of time. Beginning. God created the heaven and the earth. And then the verses go and share with us information regarding the creating, bringing to existence the world. And then we have in verse 26, after God had made the world just the way He wanted it to be, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God said, let us do what? Let us make man. And we want to create him, create man in our image and our likeness. So God created him, male and female. Did you get that? Did you get that? No, you missed that. Male. God said, let us make man. You wake up. Let us make man. And God, the Bible says that they were made. And God made them male and female. One, two, male first. So does that mean that the man is supposed to always take care of his wife, and the wife is always to look up to her husband? Mm-hmm. I just thought that I'd share that with you in passing. Man is a choice, male and female, a choice creation by the Creator of heaven and earth. Creation of God and created in God's image and God's likeness. So we are to be some very intelligent people. Yes, sir. God chose to create man who possess a spirit Because when we don't get that information in chapter 1, but we get it in chapter 2. That God formed man from the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into his nostrils life. Man has a will similar to God. He can make choices by reason. Animals make choices by instinct. Yes, sir. Man was created in God's likeness, upright, holy, and with the ability, as I said heretofore, to work out situations and circumstances, to reason. God created a perfect universe, yes, sir. And God created a perfect man and woman. God gave them dominion over his perfect creation. To have dominion over it and to rule over it. There was only one thing. After doing all of this for man, there was only one thing, one law, one commandment that God gave to the first people, the first two, after giving them dominion over all of his creation, to rule over it, God demanded, especially from the man who was the leader, since he had God's image, man could reason and he could choose. God demanded obedience. Amen. God demanded obedience, yes, sir. From humans. Yes, sir. That's still the case. That's the law that he gave to the first two, and that law will be in existence as long as earth stands. God demands, not requests. He demands obedience. God was the one who took the initiative to create man. God is the leader. We are created in his likeness, and we are to be leaders as well. But leading in favor with our Creator, amen. God. Everyone who accepts Christ is called to influence others and encourage others. We are to be helpers one of another. We are to work together as human beings created and having a central Creator. Wise God, living lives that honors Him. That's why we are here. We are here for God's pleasure. Every child of God, God loves. For God so loved the world that even while we had disobeyed Him, He still loved us. So much, just to give us some idea of how much God loves us and wants us to have favor with him and he with us, that he sent his only begotten son. He didn't choose a human being that he had created. He chose his only begotten son. Does that tell us something? That sends a message, or it should, regarding how valuable we are in the eyes of God. Other human beings may not think so much of you, but God loves you. And there's no power on earth that can make us hate him if we love him back and do his will. And his will is not grievous. Every child of God is called upon to lead. You say, Whether you are CEO of a large company or a stay-at-home mom, God calls you to leadership. What is leadership? Leadership is influence. Followers of Jesus are called upon to lead. Jesus puts it this way. You are the what? Salt of the earth. And you are the light of the world. Is that not leadership? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 to 14. If you are following Christ, then you must recognize that you are called upon to encourage and to prayerfully have a positive influence, a God-loving influence on others. He didn't put us here just for ourselves. We were put here and to interact with Him first and interact with other creatures that He has created like us. But God so loved the world, we ought to love everyone. Well, I can't stand Him. I can't deal with how. No. Are you better than God? He gave us His guide book to know Him better. To know how we are to interact with Him and interact with other human beings that He allows to be born on planet Earth. God in creation was the one who took the initiative. He took the lead. He sets the example. When Adam woke up, when Eve woke up and looked around, it must have been something for them to see. Number one, to be created. And number two, they must have been overthrown with awe to see all of this. And God still blesses these creatures. No matter how difficult and how contrary we can be, God still loves us. And He manifested the fact that I still love you. Yes, you sinned against me, but I still love you. So here's what I want to do. I want to have a relationship with you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to hear my Son, believe His Son, receive His words, and obey Him. And I'll be pleased. And I'll have some more children to love. In creating the world, in creating every living thing, including humanity, He took the lead, setting the standards and setting the laws for all creation. God does not want us to disrespect Him. With all the information that I've given you, do you know who I am? Do you know what I have done for you? Do you know why you are in existence? Do you know why there is a world? That's because of my love. And I did it because I love you, and I wanted you to understand that I love you. Therefore, you would love me back. Lord, help us. And God gives orders to everything. He gives orders to everything. You notice the sun? It stays up there. We don't see it on nothing. You notice the moon? We'd like to go to the sun, but there are a lot of reasons we don't try to go to the sun. We don't have anything on planet Earth that won't melt before we get there. But the moon is cool. We've gone to the moon. God put all of that there just for us so that we would know that even though we can't see Him, He has done all of this and He loves us. You mean someone who can do all of this loves me? I can't help but love Him. He told the rivers,
come this far and stop. Ooh, isn't that something? That's power. Life on earth determines the bonds of human habitation. This is where God intends for us to live until He comes back. It doesn't matter how many satellite journeys we make. We can't stay on them long. Because if we don't take enough air with us, we won't be back alive. I love you. I love you. What am I saying? I am encouraging us to love God back because He has everything. He even knows how many. He knows how many bones in everybody's body. He knows everything. He sees everything. When Adam and Eve sinned by disobeying His instructions, God took the initiative and provided a method of reconciliation. You ever think about that? The Bible, you know, we believe the part that we were created by God. We believe the part that man disobeyed God. But do we believe that God had a method, something He could do, to tell us to do, rather, so that we could have a relationship with Him? Now, since we all love living, wisdom says, get that formula. Get that information. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. All because they wanted to, not because they had to. God took the initiative. There was to be a blood sacrifice. Adam and Eve. Abel, you remember Abel? Their son. God wants a blood sacrifice at that time. You say, well, you didn't even tell us that they got married. What? They're only two people on earth. And God put them there, so they had to be man and female, man and wife. Then they had children. And then God gave them instruction as to how you can interact with me, how you can worship me. And Adam and Eve and Abel gave a sacrifice to God, a blood sacrifice. Their son, they had another one. You remember his name? Mr. Cain. Mr. Cain decided, I'm not going to give a blood sacrifice. I'm going to give something that comes from the ground to the Father. God accepted the blood sacrifice. He rejected Cain's offering. He worshipped, yes, but he worshipped not according to God. Yes, God had instructions that He had given them. Cain worshipped, but he didn't worship by the instruction. God still wants to be worshipped. He has given us instructions, and He still wants us to follow instructions. Otherwise, he doesn't have to accept it, and He does not accept it. We are to worship according to knowledge. According what thus saith the Word of God. Yes, sir. God calls it sin when we disobey His instructions. When an individual attempts to worship God not according to His instructions, He rejects it just like He did Adam and Eve's son. I was coming to this building from where I live. I passed by a very big church building, very nice church building. And when I'm coming, I see the parking lot flooding, filling up. They have two services, one at one time. And when we first get here, I see that crowds. Not the people, but the cars. And by the time we have worship and Sunday school, and we're going home, the second crowd. First group is gone, second crowd. Parking lot full. And I was in the neighborhood looking for something else. Would put me a little bit closer to the church building. And they had a sign on the building encouraging people to come. And a picture of the two preachers and his husband and wife. Both of them preachers. Well, it doesn't matter so much, but husband and wife. Sin is sin, isn't it? I suffer not a woman to teach, not in my church. But yet, people go not just to that church, but many other churches. Visiting friends, ladies and gentlemen, members of the body of Christ, please take the time to study your Bible. So that you will know for yourselves if the preacher is preaching what's in the Bible. Because at the judgment, God's going to judge each of us according to our actions. Well, he told, depart from me. That's not what you want to hear. You want to hear, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Hell is a real place.
Yes, sir.
God gives us the information. He gives us a description of what it's going to be like. And he also gives us information as to how long. And the word long would be out of place. Because long infers a particular period of time. There will be no end. There will be no end after this. Go back to the beginning of Genesis, chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created what? God in the beginning. When? In the beginning. In the beginning. What does that when I say in the beginning, that illustrates or that shares with you what? It shares with you, I'm talking about a period of time. In the beginning is a reference to time. What's your point, preacher? My point is that the earth has not always existed. In eternity, that's where God lives, and that's where we're going to live. When we leave this world, we're going to be in eternity. Yes, the body will go back to the dust of the ground. But you see, I didn't come from the dust of the ground. You didn't come from the dust of the ground. Where did you come from? I was breathed out by God. To live forever. The body, when a person, we come to a funeral, the person's body is here, but they have been called out of their body. That's why the body is here. I'm not going too fast, am I? We were created by God. Go back to Genesis 1. Everything that came into existence, all the animals, all the fish of the sea, was spoken. By God. He just spoke it and they came into existence. But human beings came out from God. Came out from God. And when we came out from God, God got some dirt and shaped it up and put us in that form. But we didn't come from the ground. We came out from the eternal God. And we're going to live forever. Decide. You make the decision That's why he gives us his Bible. You make the decision as to how you want to live forever. Because you're going to live forever. You can't change that. Can't change that. After death, Romans 20, Revelation. After death, what then? What is going to be your lot? You say, well, I get tired of going to church. I just. You can do that. You can get tired of going to church. You can get tired of worshiping God. You can get tired of being obedient to his will. That's your choice. He doesn't make us serve him. He just calls us, if we have any sense, to desire to serve him. Because we're going to live as long as he lives. The son disobeyed him. God showed us with the first family, I do not accept disobedience anywhere, especially when it comes to my worship. Did you hear? Especially when it comes to my worship. The first death that we hear about, I think I'm correct, is because a human being disobeyed God regarding a relationship with God, some instructions that God had given. God rejected his sacrifice. Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 7. Yes, his son worshiped, but not according to knowledge. His son worshiped, but not according to knowledge. God calls it sin when one attempts to worship him not according to instructions. Where do you worship? Where do you worship? Do you worship according to knowledge? Where does the Bible talk about the church that you're a member of? You say, well, I remember no church where you don't worship. So you just like the folk who are worshiping wrong. What's the difference? God created us to worship him. God calls it sin when one attempts to worship him not according to his instructions. Jesus says, John chapter 16. Son came all the way from glory. Came all the way from glory. He said to his apostles in John chapter 16, you know the text. I will build my church upon the truth that you have just spoken of. I will build my church. Establish his church, my church. And he gave strict instructions and guidelines to the apostles whom he had chosen and taught for 3 years his gospel. And then when he left, in Acts chapter 1, he gave his 12 apostles strict instructions. Strict instructions. He drove 11, I should say, his 11 apostles because Jesus had died. Go to Jerusalem and wait there. I'm leaving. Go to Jerusalem and wait there. And my Father is going to give you some information, the Holy Spirit, that will guide you into all truth and bring everything that I've taught you to your remembrance. So don't go anywhere preaching to anybody about anything until that happens. That was the meeting. Some of the last words that Jesus said on planet Earth to his apostles. And then the Bible says he began, Acts chapter 1, to ascend, going on back to glory. But he told them to go to Jerusalem and wait till the Father baptizes you with the Holy Spirit that will bring everything I've taught you to your remembrance. I don't want you to go on your remembrance. The Father's going to give you the Holy Spirit, and it's going to bring everything that I've taught you to your remembrance, so you can preach exactly what I taught you. Jesus went on back to glory. They went to Jerusalem 10 days later. That's in your Bible. Latter part of Acts chapter 1. The Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. The 12 apostles, because they had chosen someone to take Judas's place. And Genesis, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is the first time that the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was preached on planet Earth. Read your Bible. To that motley crowd in Jerusalem. Thousands were gathered there. Jewish holiday. Able to preach to that motley crowd, Judas became the central... Judas. Peter. He was dead. It was amazing. Peter became the central speaker. And he preached to that motley crowd. And when he got to the point in his lesson, that same Jesus that you all said, crucify, crucify. That same Jesus, God raised him from the dead. When they heard that, they were shocked. The Bible says they were pricked in their hearts. We kill the Savior that our foreparents were looking for. We were looking for. We killed him. The crowd interrupted Peter. What shall we do? Well, you just pray for pardon and make a little cross on your chest and you'll be fine. Is that in your Bible? Nowhere. Nowhere is that in your Bible. They asked the question. What shall we do? Acts 2:37. Peter told them in Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be godly sorrowful for the sins that you have committed. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. He never mentioned praying to be saved when they asked the question. Guided by, because the Bible said they were speaking as the Holy Spirit gave them words. Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from the wicked, from this wicked nation. Then they that gladly received his word. So I don't feel so bad when folk come and hear the gospel and they're not members of the Lord's church and go away. I don't feel so bad. Because when Peter preached by the power of the Holy Spirit, all the folk didn't obey. But some of them did. Where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? Apostles were to preach the word of God as given to them by the Holy Spirit. Jesus had already said, I will build my church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And now, after they have received the Holy Spirit, they are to go and teach his word. And that's what he's doing for the first time in the text that I've quoted. One of God's unchangeable laws are the words taught by the apostles by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Peter told them. What was Peter's answer? Peter says, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the what? For the remission or for the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then they that gladly received his word, they were baptized. Were baptized. And they had a crowd of people there because they didn't baptize everybody. But they baptized. How many? 3,000. Are you in the Lord's church? Can you read about your church that you're a member of, that you love? And you read about it in the Bible. Well, no. Well, why did you accept that? This is the guy. You think God had this written for naught? You think God sent the Holy Spirit for naught? Did he send his son for naught? Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That's it. God wants every human being saved. The Bible is right when it says God so loved the world. That's why he gave his son. Because of his love for the world. He wants us saved. It's amazing we read that God wants us saved. We disobey that by not being saved. Disregarding the gift of God. Saying, I don't want what you're offering. Knowing. I'm not going to live forever. One day I'm going to die. And according to Revelation chapter 20, I'm going to come face to face with God on judgment day. And the books, period, are going to be open. The books are going to be open. What does that mean? That means that God keeps a book on all of us, all human beings. But then it didn't stop there. He says, and another book, singular, another book will be opened. So what are you saying, Holy Spirit? This book is going to be open. God's record is going to be open. Your record, my record, is going to be open that day. And they must coincide. And if they don't coincide, God's going to say to those who did what the book says, come you bless. The sons. Come you bless my father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's for those who obeyed his word. He's going to say to the others, depart from me. I never knew you. Depart from me, workers of iniquity. The ones that he says, come you bless, they live forever with God. Every human's going to live forever. They live forever with God. The others live forever in pain, suffering with the devil. Please, read your Bible. And check behind all preachers, including this one, to make your calling and election sure. You don't want to make any mistakes when it comes to your salvation and how God is going to bless you here and in eternity, and how he is going to not bless you all that he has for you. And it's shown off, pardon my local inspiration, what I just said. In eternity, depart from me. Now, there's no point in getting an attitude with me. Get an attitude with what's in here. Because if I didn't preach what's in here, you let me know. Because I want to preach just what I can show you to read in your Bible. And nothing more. God loves you. He loves you. He expressed his love by sending his son just for you. Please study his Bible so that you will know what to do and you will know how to do it. And you will also know it's commanded by God. He loves you. Peter preached. In closing, you say, whew, never mind that. Peter preached in Acts chapter 2 that I read earlier in Jerusalem, Jewish holiday. Thousands of Jews was in Jerusalem on the day that the apostles received the Holy Spirit and began to preach. about Acts chapter 2, verse 15. Peter became the central spokesman because Jesus had given him that privilege over there in Matthew chapter 16. That you will preach my gospel, first sermon on our planet Earth. That motley crowd heard him preach, as I've said heretofore. About 3,000 obeyed the message. Obeyed the message. And they were added to the church of Christ in Acts chapter 2. That's the beginning of the church of Christ in Acts chapter 2. Peter was the first preacher. Where are you today? God wants you saved. Let me share this with you in closing. The baptismal water, we already have water. It's in place if you want to be baptized. The garments, what you're wearing now, you won't get wet. We have garments for you to put on. Water's ready. The baptizer is ready. The only question mark is you. Are you ready to give your life to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Are you ready to get right with God? It's because he doesn't hear sinners' prayer. You say, well, I say my prayers all the time. God doesn't hear sinners' prayer. He makes that clear. I hear from my children as acceptance. I accept their prayers. I don't accept yours. I know it, but I don't accept it. You don't have to go home for anything. The water's ready. The garments are ready. The baptizer is ready. Are you ready to make your calling and election chair? Are you ready to give your life to Jesus Christ? The choice is yours. You're here. You're already in the body. Are you living faithful to God? Are you sure that you're living your life according to his instructions as his son or daughter? If not, we're ready to pray for you too. That God will forgive you of your sins. If you have repented and you're asking us to pray for you. It's not a play thing. You may be living the same way you've been living 5 years or 6 years or 7 years. You don't know when that's going to come to a halt. You don't even know when you're going to come to a halt. Be ready. Be you also ready. Whenever God calls you, out of time into eternity, it's your choice. As we together stand and sing the song that's been selected. May God bless you to make a wise choice.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. And I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. And I will hasten to him, hasten to glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
I want to thank you for your time and your attention. And if you may chance to have any questions regarding what I've preached today, but you don't want to do it open and like this, when we dismiss,
I'll be glad to accept any questions you have based upon what's written in God's book, the Bible. We love you. I love you. And God, sure enough, loves you because he sent his son to die for you. Thank you very much.
I am resolved to follow.